use a double barrel shotgun or a two-edged sword.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's really good to know that Don's here today. Praise God. I didn't see him at first come in, but that's a lot of prayers. We ought to rejoice in that. And matter of fact, I want everybody to give God praise. Don, we're just praising God for you being here today, brother. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing that he is here. It's a blessing that he's feeling strong enough to be able to get around. We've been anticipating this for a while. We've been waiting for it, and thank God that God is faithful. Amen. You know, we fight a very difficult battle. The battle that we fight as being Christians going against the grain is a difficult battle to fight. A lot of times it's so difficult because we rely on ourselves. We look to ourselves for our strength. We look to ourselves for the victory. We look to ourselves, but like the song says, like we're singing, victory is mine. Victory is mine not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is. My confidence is not in myself. I don't put confidence in myself. I put confidence in the God of heaven and earth. Every one of us in this room are on one side or the other. We're either on the Lord's side or we're not. But every one of us are fighting a battle for some cause or for some purpose. There's a lot of causes and a lot of purposes out there. But we have to make a decision and make a choice upon which side we're going to commit. In the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul likened Timothy unto a soldier in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll just read from 1 so we get context. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, in Romans chapter 6, and I like moving around in my Bible, and you don't necessarily have to turn if you don't have the ability to, but thank God for Dana and having this up here. And Romans chapter 6, verse, we'll start at 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? We're all fighting a cause on one side or the other. Whomsoever we yield our members unto, his servants we are. There's a lot of people fighting a lot of causes out there, but what is the cause, what is the end result, and what is the purpose of it? You know, Jesus Christ, ultimately, obviously, the Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof are God's. The earth and the fullness thereof are God's. All things were created by Jesus Christ, and for him they are and were created for his good pleasure. So God, and all of his intentions, he created all things for his purpose. But we have taken this life that we have, and we've taken advantage to fight for our causes and for our purposes. And a lot of those times, those causes and those purposes are just motivated by our flesh, driven by our desire, driven by our temporal, and not our eternal. See, God's purpose, when he created all things, he created them for the eternal purpose. And God has a vision. God has a vision that he has already given unto his people. If you look in the book of Revelations, chapter, I think it's 19. In chapter 19, starting at verse 11, the Bible says this, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The vision is already set. The victory is already won. But the battle yet seems to appear just as fierce as it ever was. When we look around, we look at society, we look at the moral decline, and we look at the values. You know, it used to be where somebody might have problems within their town, and then it got bigger, and there was somebody might have problems within their state, and then it got bigger, and somebody might have problems within their country, and then it got bigger. Now it's global. The problems that we face as America, we face global problems. Just for a prime example is oil and gas. A lot of people deal with gas prices, are bitter over gas prices right now, and them continuing to climb. It becomes a global issue. It's always, it's the possibility of war with Iran, the possibility of this or that and the third. And we don't know one way or another. We don't know who's telling us the truth, who's lying to us. All we know is that it's affecting the entire world. You know, God has plans for the entire world, and God knows all these things. And God is fighting the battle on behalf of His. He's fighting the battle on behalf of His. But there's a lot of there's so many that are indecisive, so many that don't know who they are. There's so many of us who are amongst the church, amongst the body, that don't even realize that we are members of that army, members of that body, members of those that are fighting for the right cause. Because we don't know what we're fighting for, because we don't have that relationship. We don't understand what the cause is. We're not looking forward. We're looking at the present. We're looking at the temporal rather than the eternal. So easily, we're just accustomed, obviously, naturally, to look at that which is temporal. So we fight for that which is temporal. We fight for something that's going to last the length of my life or the length of my days, but we don't realize that that which we fight for will have an impact on those generations yet to come. But God, He fights for the eternal purpose. Christ, He's come for the eternal. He's come for the soul. When He came and He died, He didn't die for our physical and die for our flesh. He didn't die for our temporal. Although our temporal will reap the benefits of it, He died for our eternal. And that's what we need to look for. When Timothy was being encouraged by Paul in 2 Timothy, and he told him, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He realized that, listen, you have to step outside of yourself. You have to get outside of your causes. You have to get outside of what you think is right. And you have to enter into what God says is right. We have to be able to divide and separate truth. We have to be able to determine what is a truth from a lie. And we can only do that by standing up for what the Word says. We have to be able to get into the Word of God and study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We need to be able to take here a little and there a little. We need to be able to go through it all. And I know that sometimes seems overwhelming. But right now, presently, those of you who are saved, right now, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And right now, the victory is yours because of Christ. Amen. Right now, the victory is yours because of Christ. You may seem inadequate, you may seem insufficient, but the Bible says, "What love He has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of the living God." You, as children, have been born into the kingdom. And if you have been born into the kingdom, then you have stepped on the side of the Lord. Now, this is the thing. A lot of us don't seem like we're much. I don't feel like I'm much. I came from a rough past. You know, I was, and this is a good thing. If some of you guys don't have this memory of people shooting at you, that's a good thing that you don't have that memory. But I was remembering of a time when I was in a shootout with people over drugs, over money. And these people came, I guess they came to rob me, because I never met them. I never saw them face to face. All I saw was guns, and they were shooting, and I was shooting back. And I wasn't in the right state of mind. I was fighting for a cause, but that cause was going to get me straight to hell. I was standing up for it, and I didn't know what I was standing up for, and I could have been life in prison if somebody got killed, or I could have been dead. And
And I realized that the battle that I was fighting was the fight that I was fighting was so vain, and God was just bringing this to my remembrance, all the things that I had, the places that He had brought me from, all the things that He has done in my life. Yeah, I was an insignificant nobody. That's what I was. But I was creating a problem in a lot of people's lives. I was influencing a lot of people's lives. I was, because I was yielding myself unto sin, I was the servant of sin. And so since I was serving sin, I was serving Satan. And in serving Satan, I was influencing several other people that were always around me. I was fighting a battle, but I wasn't fighting it for the Lord. And I was winning over souls unto me. People were coming unto me. They were coming. They were hanging out around me. They were listening to my influence. There's still people to this day that are living the life that I helped them live in sin. I was fighting the wrong cause. I was fighting the wrong battle. Insignificant. Nobody. I thought I was nobody. But you know what? In all actuality, everybody in this room is somebody. You're all somebody. God created you in His likeness and in His image. God created you for a purpose. And though you might not seem like you have much on your side, then you have to realize that it's not you, that it's Christ. The mystery of the faith, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that fights the battle. You know, I was thinking about Joshua, because Joshua had faced the Lord at one point in time. In Joshua chapter 7, I believe it is, he had run into this somebody that he had never seen before, standing with his sword drawn, and Joshua had a question for this individual. Who are you? Chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Now we have to understand that Joshua was the leader of the children of Israel at this time. He had taken over Moses' role. He had stepped up. God had told him that if he meditated upon His word, if he was being strong and courageous to do all those things which are right in the sight of the Lord, that God was going to bless him. And everywhere the sole of his foot touched was going to be his. He had already prospered him and blessed him. So Joshua knew himself to be somebody in the Lord. But when he saw this individual with his sword drawn, in verse 14, at the end of 13, he said, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto a servant?" Something that too many people are not doing. Falling on their knees before Jesus. We have so many leaders, but not enough followers. And the people that are supposed to be following are trying to lead. The people we're supposed to be following, our Savior. We're supposed to be following our Lord. We're supposed to allow Him to lead us in battle. We're supposed to heed His voice and acknowledge which direction He would have us to go. But we're going off on our own, and we're fighting against one another rather than with one another. We're not fighting the Lord's cause. We don't recognize division when we see it. We don't recognize backbiting when we see it. We don't recognize it. We're not even paying attention. What we're doing is we're just feeding off it. When people are talking behind one another's back, when people are sowing discord, we're just entertaining it. That's spiritual. And it's destructive. And it's not of God. God wants us to have victory. And the battle is not intended to be ours. We are entering into that which is God's. God has called us into His kingdom, each and every one of us who have stepped out of sin and into glory with Christ Jesus. And through Christ Jesus, we have stepped onto the other side of the playing field. And we have to learn and acknowledge that, you know what? What I was a part of, I have to be renewed. I have to learn to think again aright. I have to learn to process thoughts aright. I have to learn to think like God would have me to think. I have to learn to do the things that God would have me to do. But I don't know how to do that, and the task seems overwhelming. You know how I got my victories in Jesus Christ? You know how I become a man of God to be able to be up here today? By just yielding unto God. By just giving Him my time. By just giving Him my effort. By just giving over unto Him. That's how you become the person that God would have you to become. Yield. Give up. We hold on to our lives with everything that's inside of us. With all of our dear strength, we hold on to our lives. We don't want to let go of some things. We just keep holding and just keep holding and just keep holding. And in the meantime, while we're holding, there's things that are hurting all around us. See, the more that God is able to use me to do, the more that God is able to use you to do, the greater a victory that we see around us. The victory. God's going to get the victory. That's why I read those scriptures in the book of Revelation. Did you see that? The word of God. The vesture dipped in blood. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to come forth in battle and He's going to overcome. So fighting for anything other than what the Lord's cause is, in the end of the day, will be vain. It'll be frivolous and it'll be counted as not. God is going to destroy the works of Satan. God is going to destroy all of those who are enemies to the throne of the Almighty God. All of those who reject Christ. Christ has called us into this glory. Yeah, you know what? God, I'm nobody. I've never been anybody. What impact could I have? Your prayers have impact. Your fasting has impact. You're believing God for things in people's lives by faith. You're looking to one another and encouraging somebody has an impact, an eternal impact. See, what we don't know is we don't know the people that are around us. We don't know who the next person God is going to raise up to be that next missionary, to be that next evangelist, to be that next prophet, or whatsoever he might do in that individual's life. We don't know who that is. But what we do know is an individual, I can have an impact on those that are around me lives. See, I was looking at battles, and that, you know, we think that, if we don't do something, well, you know, then it's not going to get done. Then think about the military. A lot of us pray for our military. That's good. Pray for our military. I want to pray for our military. But you know what? If God's not fighting for our military is going to die out there at the mission field. They're going to die. They're going to die in battle because if God, the Bible says, if God doesn't watch the city, then the watcher riseth in vain. Let me show you that scripture. Because a lot of us put a lot of confidence in our military, basically, which is the same thing that David did when he numbered the army. He put confidence in the military and the strength and the amount. We put confidence in America because we have nukes, because we have great armies, because we have great intelligence. That can be undermined in a moment. That can be destroyed in a moment. The gates can be opened wide. Come on, when we think about it, there's no way that the Pentagon, the center of our defense, intelligence, should have been hit by a plane. There's no possible way. Listen, in a moment's time, if God wants to reveal unto us that we don't have it all together, He can reveal it to us that we don't have it all together. I want to read this. Except the Lord, and this is Psalms 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Watch the city all you want. Stay wide awake. Have the trumpet sitting at your mouth waiting to blow. Because you're going to see the enemy. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, if we could just think about some of these things. God, look at some of these victories that God wrought. If we go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Jehoshaphat was king at the time. Jehoshaphat being the king of Judah. Right? He was the king of Judah, wasn't he? Of Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat in battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He sought the Lord. The first thing Jehoshaphat did when he had more than three cities or three nations, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and over here it speaks about in Mount Seir in 22. If we skip right on over, after he cries out to the Lord and he calls all them unto the Lord, if we skip over to verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Scroll on down a little bit further in verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. And when they began to sing to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Just by singing praises, the enemy was smitten. When you look at the battle Gideon fought, a battle, and he had 32,000 soldiers. He was going to go fight this battle with the Palestinians. God said, nope, there's too many people. So he said, anybody that's fearful and afraid, send them home. 22,000 left that day. That left them with 10,000. That's what scripture says, 10,000. After the 10,000, God said, nah, still too many. Too many. Lest I give them the victory and they think they want it on themselves. See, God fights his own battles. But what God wants us to do is God wants us to stand for that which is just. Stand for that which is right. God wants us to get on the right side of the field. God is calling, as the scriptures, as the Marines say, they're looking for just a few good men. God's looking for a few good men. You know, we give the soldiers credit for battle when they go out in battle, right? They brought home a great battle and they feel good about themselves. You know, as men, mostly it was men that used to fight the armies. Now women are in the military a lot more these days, and so be it. But the women didn't get as much credit for doing what they did when they were at home. You know, think about the soldiers. The soldiers are gone. That's good. But the women did a lot when they were raising the children and holding down the household at home, too, didn't they? They deserve a lot of credit, too. So there's a battle in every area, in every field of life, that we don't necessarily always recognize. The man thinks he's got more on his shoulders. The woman thinks she's got more. Listen, any of you men don't think the women got a lot on their plate? Stay home with the kids. Stay home with the kids. Watch the kids. You know, most men don't have the patience for that, do they? I know myself. Listen, when my wife leaves the kids home with me, she come home and the kids are anywhere. And I'll be on the computer, I'll be doing something, I'll be fixing something. And she say, baby, where's the kids? I don't know, I just heard them. They're running right here somewhere. It's completely different when the woman is watching the kids, isn't it? There's a tender care. There's a nourishment. They hold a lot on their plate. Every area of life, there's a battle to be fought and a battle to be won and a victory to be had. And you know what? God wants us to have the victory, but God wants us to first and foremost yield unto him. There was a king named Uzziah, and he is 2 Chronicles... In 2 Chronicles 26, the scripture said this. And I'll read from verse 1 when he got established. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We went back at the beginning. Joshua had to know who he was. He had to know his place. Everybody in this room has to know their place. He had to bow before the feet of Jesus. That was Jesus. Some people would say it was an angel of the Lord. Well, if you look in the book of Revelations, when John tried to bow before the angel of the Lord, he told him, get up, I'm a servant just like you. None of the angels would let man bow before them, because they knew that there was only one God, there was only one Lord. So when this captain of the salvation of the army of Israel, of the Lord of hosts, was before him, he recognized. And then right after that, and I didn't go to that scripture, it said, take the latchet off your sandals, take your shoes off your feet, for you're on holy ground. That symbolizes it was Christ. Each and every one of us have to acknowledge that we have to yield unto Christ. We have to give our lives over. We have to sell out. We have to be sold over. The Bible says that all of us were purchased with a price. The price has been paid. That victory has been won at Calvary. The sins of the world have been defeated. They have been washed. They have been cleansed. But only if you are willing to give them over. If you don't yield, if you don't yield that battle alone, if you don't give those sins, if you don't acknowledge that those sins are only going to get you a burning hell, if you don't acknowledge that that sin and that pleasure is only for a season, then you're going to get exactly what you want at the end of the day. The reward that sin will give you. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. Jesus overcame when he went to the cross. He got the victory. So we have this great battle before us, and we have this example, these examples. We have to learn to first bow before Jesus, but also at the same time, the Bible teaches us that if we're not seeking the Lord, that's basically what he says, because he says, and as long as he sought the Lord God, he made him to prosper. Now, symbolizing that truth, if you skip over to verse 16, the Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up in his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. That was not his role. That was not his place. He got out of line, and he thought that he could do that which wasn't legal for him to do as a king. He wasn't a priest. He was a king. That's the same thing Saul did when Saul stepped out of line, and Saul was rebuked for it also. You know, and matter of fact, Samuel was pleading for Saul, and God told Saul, get up. Stop crying for him. I have rejected him. You know what? God, he deals with us on a personal basis, and he wants to give us victories in our life. He wants us to be more than conquerors. He wants to be overcomers. He wants us to enter into this acknowledging that we're soldiers. You know what soldiers, the scriptures teach in the book of Ephesians, talks about putting on the whole armor of God. When you think about that, he's telling us to stand and be prepared at all times, having done all, stand, having your loins girt about, think about it, the helmet of salvation. If you don't have any confidence in your salvation, you can't go forward. You can't go forward. Your trust and confidence has to be in Christ. It's not in you. You're never going to be good enough, and you'll never be sufficed. It's going to be in God. Amen. Breastplate of putting on the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness that we have, if we think we're good, then we've already fallen from grace, haven't we? We're good because God is good, and God dwells in us, and that's what makes us good. It's the cleansing. It's us yielding and heeding unto the voice of the Almighty God. That's what makes us good. That's what causes us to be justified. And we're not justified by our own means. We're justified by believing on Him whom He has sent. Whom the Father has sent. That's believing on Jesus Christ. Having our loins girded about with the Spirit of truth. You know, if we're not standing for truth, then what are we standing for? What are we carrying? When we're going about the truth, that it says having your loins girded about. The loins is where your strength comes from. An individual's strength comes from the center of his body, from the gravity of his body. You think about it. That truth is what causes us to stand, and it's not on us. So when we find ourselves arguing with people, debating with people about what's what, what's not, all you have to do is give truth. Let God deal with the rest of it. Because why? Because just like Jehoshaphat was told, the battle's not yours, it's God's. Yeah. We don't have to argue with people, we don't have to make people, but we should be willing to stand up for that which is right. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why America's failing. Because more people have begun to just move forward in their own way, rather than having the collective foundation that it once had. There was a collective foundation. There was an agreement on values. There was an agreement on morals. There was agreement on what was right. There was an agreement based on the Christian foundation and the Christian religious beliefs. Now it's, there's more about freedom of religious rights to not serve Christ than there is to serve Christ. We want freedom from God today. We want God out of the school. We want God out of the workplace. We want God out of... My job tells me. My job says, you could talk to somebody about it freely if you want, but if they say they don't want to hear it, you can't talk about it no more. You risk your job if you continue to talk about it. If they said, I don't want to hear that, and you continue to talk about it, and they have to deal with that, you'll lose your job. That's the America that we live in today. Do we think we're not setting ourselves up for a fall? Do we think we're still headed for victory with that kind of lifestyle? And that's where it takes individuals. That's where it takes us becoming victorious in Christ. That's where it takes us yielding up unto God. That's where it takes us giving ourselves, bowing at the feet of Jesus. That's where it takes us saying, you know what? You might not feel it's right, but according to the scriptures, I know it's right. I'm going to stand for it no matter what the consequences. Listen, at the end of the day, you're going to be victorious. There are men and brethren who have lost their lives for standing for that which is just. But at the end of the day, though it seemed to have been that they have failed at their cause, look at the apostles. They all died some way, some shape, form, or fashion. You know, but they all went forth with their lives in their hands, prepared to bring the gospel. And look where it is today. Look how far the gospel has come because of commitment. Because of soldiers. These are soldiers, but these are soldiers fighting for the right cause. These are soldiers that are on the Lord's side, and the Lord is fighting this battle. Listen, in the end of the day, the Lord is going to be victorious. Amen. It's up to us to choose which side we're going to walk on. And it's not enough to just choose by our mouths, because there's a lot of people that say they're on the Lord's side, but their actions are proving otherwise. That's why the Bible says, if we can't deny ourselves and pick up our cross, and Luke says on a daily basis, you know, if we can't wake up in the morning and choose God rather than this world. I was told by one time that the church doesn't really know how to minister to widows. And I was talking to my brother this morning about that, and I said, you know what? Because we have a safety net, the government, Social Security. We have the government taking care of them for us, so we don't feel obligated. Guess what? If the obligation fell on the church, we would have to step up. You know what that would do to a lot of people, though? It would make them uncomfortable. Why? Because they would have to sacrifice part of their life to do something that they don't want to do. How is that for the condition of our heart before God Almighty? How is that for the condition of our heart before God Almighty? We ain't got time for nothing anymore when it pertains to the things of God. That's a shame. We ought to feel ashamed because we can't make time because our lives are so busy that we can't make time to go to somebody's house to visit them, that we can't make time to make a phone call. We can't make time to do the things that pertain to the kingdom. Rather, we have all these selfish desires that are being fulfilled at any given moment that we want to fulfill it. The flesh draws us, we run. The spirit draws us, we sleep. We put it down. Something else I could do. I know. That's the battle that we fight. That's the victory that God wants us to have in our lives. The victory that says, I'm sold for Christ. I'm living in the Spirit. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The hope that I live now, no longer by myself, but by the faith of the Son of God. My life is governed by the faith of the Son of God, the author and the finisher of my faith. He which wrote the book. The one that told the story. The one that is telling the story right now because it's alive. God wants the victory. But God's going to get the victory. We want the victory, but if we don't yield, we're not going to get the victory. If we don't give over, if we don't give up, if we don't let go, we're not going to get the victory. We're going to be disappointed at the end of the day. I'm sorry to say, but I'm telling you the truth. You're going to be disappointed at the end of the day. If you can't give up this life, if you can't give up today, if you can't, maybe not right now. Maybe it might not be right now, but maybe it should be right now. Because if you go out, praise God for the brother back here that just gave his life to the Lord. Because if you go out, you don't know what's going to be your last. You don't know if you're going to go back to church. You don't know if God's going to continue to reach out to you, because you don't know if God's already reached out to you enough in his own concerns and feelings. God knows. God told the fool, this day is thy soul required. You thought you was going to tear down your barns. You thought you was going to build others so that you could stack more in it, so that you could fill more for this life into it. But this day is your soul required. And what are you going to have to amount to? What are you going to be able to answer before the Almighty God? We serve a mighty God. The Bible teaches us, and I was reading the scripture just briefly a moment ago, and the scripture taught that it pertained to God. I don't even want to say it out of context. Oh, I can't remember exactly what it said. It was speaking in regards to us yielding over. It was speaking in regards to us, the victory being ours in Christ, or the victory being ours in God. If we don't yield over, if we think that we're going to obtain the victory myself, if I think that I'm going to be able to do it on my own, then there's no need for Christ in my life. Then God doesn't see his place in my life. But if I know and acknowledge, and if I yield and I give myself over, I know and acknowledge, God, I can't do it without you. When I get up here and minister, I feel, God, I can't do it without you.
I can't. It's not going to go well if I try to do it without you. I can get up here and I can read a script. You got people that do Bible studies off online. You know, they just read them verbatim. And I'm not. And there was a chaplain that we had. I was speaking to a brother in Christ that I was incarcerated with, and that's what he said. He said that, you know, the chaplain, he used to just print them off, and he used to just read them to us. He didn't do Bible study. He didn't preach the gospel. He didn't live the life of Christ. This wasn't the word wasn't embedded in him. He just gave us what somebody else. He was just a messenger, just transferring the word. What does that say for that individual? If that's all we're doing, what does that say for us? If we're not preaching the word from our hearts, if we're not preaching the word from that which God has given us, if we're not telling somebody, if we're telling somebody else but we're not living it, what does it say for us? Where's the victory in our lives? We want somebody else to have the victory in their life, but we don't have the victory in ours. We're teaching other people how to live and we're not living right. There's no victory there. There's no power there. The anointing will break it, the yoke in every man's life, every woman's life. The bondages that are suffered, the inadequacies that we suffer, God can fulfill them all. God can use, God can take that which is weak inside of us and become strong in us. God can use me to speak. God can use you to speak. God wants to do a great work in our lives, each and every one of us, and I pray that you let Him. I pray today that you understand that the book is already written. The victory is already won, and the path is already set. One day soon, I'm going to read it again for you, if you would turn back to it again one more time, in the book of Revelations, chapter 19. And one day soon, this is going to be the truth and the manifestation of it. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That day is coming. That day is coming. The Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I added, I'm saying we should. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we should persuade men. Knowing that God is going to pour out the fierceness of His wrath, we should persuade men. We should talk to them. We should remind them. People will reject you. You know, don't be ashamed to suffer for righteousness' sake. Don't be ashamed if somebody doesn't like you because you're telling them the truth or loving them. And you are loving them when you're telling them that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because if we're ashamed of God, if we're ashamed of Christ, the Bible teaches that He'll be ashamed of us before His Father and before the holy angels. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed to tell people that which is good and that which is going to be have an eternal purpose. I spoke to people and people have spoken to me. Grandma was speaking to me when my wife was working at a bread store. Still to this day, I remember it. There might be a lack of attention when you're talking to somebody. It might seem like it's going in one ear and out the other. And their actions might not prove that they heard a word. But for years, my grandma's voice echoed in my mind the things that she was saying about God having a call on my life and God wanting me to change. God want, you know, the things that she was saying at that moment in time. For years, it echoed in the back of my mind. God used that to speak unto me. God, why? Because God is fighting that battle. God was fighting the battle. He was the one discussing with me. He was the one drawing me. He was the one working with me. He's the one that's doing it in your life. I mean, but praise God for all the soldiers that have stepped up. Guess what? You know, we say thank God for a soldier. Thank God for the soldier that brought you the Word of God. Thank God for the soldier that brought you the gospel. That was a soldier. Whether it was a man, woman, or sometimes even a child reflecting the glory of the Almighty God. Thank God for the soldier that's bringing the gospel, carrying it through cities and through states and through towns. Thank God for that. We need to thank God for those soldiers. Amen. I pray today, I pray that you be encouraged and know that the victory for all of you who are in Christ Jesus, the victory is God's. God's going to get us the victory. If you're fighting a battle right now, know for a surety that in due season, in due time, that victory will manifest itself.
Those things which we pray according to God's will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know we have those things which we prayed. You're battling with addictions. You're battling with your mouth and your tongue, which is a terrible member of the body. So often, God will give you the victory if you yield it unto Him. If we give these things over unto Him, the victories that we have need in our relationships and in our lives and our communication, God will give us the victory. But we have to seek Him. We have to yield it unto Him. We have to believe that He's the source of our victory. Too often we just figure, I got it under control. I can handle it. You can't handle it. Stop trying to handle it. Let God give you the victory. And then you'll give God the glory. And all in all, everything will be done as it's supposed to be done. We serve a mighty God. I'm going to close reading this psalm, Psalm 24. I want you to think about these things. Meditate on these things. Joshua was encouraged. See that thou meditate upon thy word day and night, upon his word day and night. Then shall thy way be prosperous. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. This is God's. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Selah. We got a mighty God. The God of heaven and earth, He is mighty in battle. And He's a victorious God. He's always victorious. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I pray that if there's anybody in here that has not given their life to the Lord, or has not trusted the Lord, and is still living in the vanity of their lives, and I know that can seem attractive for a season, but it always has its time and its place where it comes to an end. Even if it comes all the way to the grave, it'll have its end. And then we have to stand before God in judgment. I pray that this day, that if you haven't given your life, that you would give your life. That you would make that commitment. You could do it at your altar. You could do it at your seat. You could do it at the altar. You could do it at home. You could do it driving home. We'll pray with you. If you don't feel like you know how to do it, we'll pray with you. But one thing for certain, no matter whether you think that you're making a choice or think that you have to make a choice, every day you are making a choice to serve one or the other. Either sin unto death or Christ unto life. Amen? If there's anybody that needs anything from the Lord, the elders are always here to pray with you. We'll pray with you. If you're fighting a battle that you seems difficult to overcome, we'll pray with you. And the God of heaven and earth, who is mighty in battle, He'll give you the victory. He'll give you a great victory. Some things don't always turn out the way that we want them to, but that doesn't mean we didn't get the victory. That just means that God knew what was best off, and He took it the other way because He knew what was going to be better for your eternity, for your eternal purpose. So I pray that anybody who needs anything, anybody who wants prayed for, anybody who needs encouraged, that's what the brothers and sisters are here for. You don't have to do it with anything but the honesty and the purity of your heart. Giving over. That's all it takes. It takes you just yielding up. It takes you just giving in. It takes you just saying, God, help me. Simple as that. God, help me. God is able to help, and He's able to cast down. And there's people that are discouraging you. God will deal with them. Give them time. See, God is long-suffering because God doesn't want to have to deal with them the way that they want dealt with when they're doing that to you. But God will deal with them if that's what they want. And God will remove people out of your way. I remember one time we were in a pod and we were praying, and this guy was always miserable every time we get together. It was J-Pod, so we called it Jesus Pod. And we would get together and we had Bible study. And this dude, he would always complain and always had something to say and grumbling and cursing. Brother went over, he laid hands on his bed. He said, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you remove this hindrance from us. That night that man was escorted out. That night that man was escorted out of the way. We ain't have to deal with him no more. Some people don't want to change. They want to be the way that they want to be. But God,
God is a mighty God. He wants you to have the victory. He wants you to know that you're loved. He wants you to know that you're somebody. He wants you to know that even though you don't feel like a soldier mighty in battle, He made you one. And the victory is yours. In Christ Jesus, the victory is yours. So anybody needs anything from the Lord, come forward. Don't be ashamed never of Christ. Anybody who wants to give their life over, come forward. Anybody who just wants to pray in agreement, come forward. And if not, praise God anyway. We'll give God the glory no matter no how, right? I know the majority of you guys are faithful to know if you need pray for, it's no question. For you to come up, it's no question. Y'all just feel free. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters of the world.